What is up and welcome into the Locked On Chargers podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Wade, joined as always by my co-host, David Drogemeyer. We are two writers who got our start at San Diego Sports Domination, San Diego's top sports blog, and we've been covering the Chargers now for four seasons, doing our own Facebook Live show, Chargers Domination Live, which airs weekly. And this is our second season with the Locked On Chargers podcast, bringing you your team every day. All right, guys, well, a ton to get into today. I'm really excited for today's show because we're going to be going over the East-West Shrine Bowl and some players that stood out in that game, and also look forward to this weekend's Senior Bowl where there's a bunch of big names playing in the game for the final time before these NFL teams decide who they are going to draft. So we're going to talk about some big names there, but we're going to start with the news that Isaiah Simmons, the linebacker slash safety slash overall monster player at Clemson, has decided to declare for the 2020 draft, and what that means for the Chargers, if we'd be willing to take him, even though it's not the Chargers' biggest need, and if he could even realistically make it to the Chargers at pick 6 overall. But let's go ahead and get into it. Some very notable players have decided to return to school for their senior season in college football, but one player the Chargers have their eye on has decided to declare for the draft. This is Daniel Wade joined by David Drogemeyer with your Locked On Chargers lead story. Clemson's superstar linebacker Isaiah Simmons has officially declared for the NFL draft in 2020, and he is almost assuredly going to be a top 10 pick and a guy that the Chargers could have a shot at the 6th overall pick. So not one of their biggest needs, but he is an absolutely dynamic player. His stat line is one of the most unique in college football, hands down. He finished his season with 104 tackles, 16 and a half tackles for loss, 8 sacks, 8 passes defensed, and 3 interceptions. Those are just ridiculous numbers, David. And a lot of Charger fans have been getting in on this pick with Isaiah Simmons, even though it's not the Chargers' biggest need. But with a player like him, he is such a unique talent, David, that the Chargers have to consider him with the 6th overall pick if he gets there, because there's a couple of teams ahead of the Chargers that could easily pick him. But he is just an absolutely fantastic player, and there's really no other player like him in this draft class.
And the Chargers desperately need a playmaker of that stature on the Charger defense. I mean, newsflash, any team in the NFL could benefit from a guy who brings this many things to the table. I mean, he's a former safety who transitioned to linebacker, and you really see that range and that speed and that athletic ability all over the football field. I mean, he is just dynamic. He can make the tackles. He can cover your running backs and tight ends. He can get into the backfield and get sacks on the quarterback. He's just absolutely everywhere. He's a jack of all trades, and this is not a master of none situation. This is a jack of all trades, master of a lot. I mean, Isaiah Simmons is an incredible prospect type player. If the Chargers have the opportunity to add him to an already young and up and coming defense, I think he might be one of the missing links to really make this defense extremely scary in the NFL. If he is there, I think he's a best player available type of situation. I know the Chargers have other needs, but what would a Chargers defense look like with Derwin James, a healthy Nazir Adderley, Joey Bosa, Melvin Ingram, and Isaiah Simmons right in the middle? Wow, that sounds amazing.
Yeah, I mean, the rumors are that he's going to run a 4.3 140, or that is what he has already won, which at 6'4", 230 pounds is kind of unheard of. He has the speed to stay with receivers and tight ends. He has the power to stop running backs in their tracks, and there's really not much you could look for as far as a utility player. I mean, he's like Adrian Phillips on steroids, a dime linebacker that can do everything, can rush the passer, which the Chargers were not good at in 2019. He also is a playmaker and can take the ball away, which is another thing the Chargers struggled with in 2019. They were one of the worst teams in the league at taking the ball away. Only the Giants were worse this season. So you have to at least consider it. And the Chargers obviously know that they have huge needs on the offensive line and at quarterback, but it's going to be super hard to pass up Isaiah Simmons if he's there, But David, even if the Chargers don't get him, even if he goes ahead of their pick at number six, the good news is that pushes other really good players down. You know, that might push a guy like Jeff Okuda down. So either way, even if the Chargers do not get him, because he is not their biggest need, and that's a philosophy thing. Are you going to go biggest need or best overall player when your pick comes up? Better players will get down to the Chargers if he goes ahead of them.
Exactly. I mean, just him involving himself in the 2020 NFL draft is going to make more players available to the Chargers. I mean, the Chargers pick sixth overall, so there's only five other teams that are going to be picking in front of the Chargers, and two of those teams more than likely are going to be taking quarterbacks. So with that being said, there's going to be a lot of talent, a lot of great offensive linemen, a couple of good defensive linemen, a couple of quarterbacks that might possibly be there. With Isaiah Simmons declaring for the 2020 NFL draft, the Chargers' options of players that can come in and make an impact at sixth overall just increased substantially.
Exactly. It just pushes more players down to you. It gives you more options. And by no means is Isaiah Simmons declaring for the NFL draft a bad thing for the Chargers. It only gives them more options. So maybe they're sold on only taking a quarterback at six. But if you are not sold on any of the quarterbacks at sixth overall, if the guys that you like get taken ahead of you and you're not willing to trade up for it, then Isaiah Simmons would absolutely be a steal of a pick if they were to land him. But we do have two more segments to get into, talking about the highlights from the East-West Shrine Bowl and some players that we're looking at going into the Senior Bowl on Saturday, coming up right after this. But first, the draft always gets me excited. It's always fun to think about the players who could be on the Chargers. Another thing that always gets me excited and will get you going in the bedroom is Blue Chew. That's bluechew.com, blue like the color blue. Blue Chew brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. And since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever an opportunity arises. Blue Chew is prescribed online and shipped straight to your door in a discreet package, so no in-person doctor visits, no waiting in line at the pharmacy, and best of all, no more awkwardness. Right now, we still have a special deal going for our listeners. If you guys go to BlueChew.com, you can get your first shipment for free when you use the special promo code LOCKEDON. All you have to do is pay $5 in shipping. The product is free. Again, that's BlueChew.com, promo code LOCKEDON to try it free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice, and we thank them for sponsoring this podcast. And, you know, when you get so excited about something like Blue Chew, it makes you need to calm down a little bit. And right now, I have the best thing for that, because we talk about physical fitness a lot, but there's another side of the game that's just as important. I'm talking about mental fitness. Calm is the number one app for sleep and meditation and has teamed up with LeBron James to help you train your mind. LeBron and Calm know that your mind is like any other muscle in your body, and Calm can help you train your brain so you sleep better, have less stress, and perform at your best. Right now, if you guys go to calm.com/lockedon, you'll get 40% off a Calm Premium membership. With Calm, you'll have access to nature scenes. LeBron loves the rain or leaves sounds and so much more, like sleep stories and meditations as well. For a limited time, our listeners can join LeBron in using Calm with a 40% discount on an annual membership at calm.com/lockedon. Unlock content to help you focus, ease stress, and sleep better. Get started at calm.com/lockedon. That's calm.com/lockedon. All right, well, it's time to get into the next segment, talking about the East-West Shrine game and the guys who stood out in the game. And there was a few to talk about in this one, a few highlight plays and some highlight players that could make sense for the Chargers. I want to preface this by saying that most of these guys are day three picks, so you're talking fifth, sixth, and seventh round picks, but that's where you get a lot of the value in the draft, and for guys that are playing in this game, this has the opportunity to bring them from an undrafted free agent trying to latch on with a team and being a guy who gets his name called out in April and actually gets to go to a team with a little bit of leverage to try to stay with them. So not a ton of frontline players that you've heard of in this game, but there were definitely some players that stood out, David. And for me, it starts with the running backs, because there were a couple of running backs that had a pretty good game, specifically James Robinson, who's a guy from a small school in Illinois State from the FCS program. and he had a couple of big runs. One of the times he tried to make a little bit too much and took a loss, so that's something that he's going to have to work on. But he's a two-time Walter Payton Award finalist, which is basically the FCS version of a Heisman Trophy, and he goes 7 carries for 80 yards and a touchdown. David, when I watched this game, James Robinson was a guy who stood out because he didn't have elite speed, but he did break off a few, 20-plus yard runs. He did run very physical. He's a smaller guy with a really thick build, and that's something that the Chargers especially needing a running back to kind of add to the Austin Eckler, Justin Jackson mix, if they decide to roll with that, would be a guy that you could get later on in the draft probably, and we'll see what he measures up at the combine, but that's a guy that you see in this game, and you're like, hey, you know, maybe that guy could be a Charger.
Yeah, no question. I mean, definitely a thicker running back, a guy who is not known for breakaway speed. But as funny as when you're watching the game, the commentators are talking about the fact that he doesn't have breakaway speed. And on that play that they're talking about, he takes it and breaks it for a big run and ends up in the end zone for, 40, 50 plus yard run. So he's like, oh, yeah, I heard you talking about me. And guess what? You're wrong. So got to love those type of moments for, a small school type of running back. But the Chargers have shown in the past that, small school running backs obviously do not bother them at all. And they have a lot of success, with those small school guys, a la Austin Eckler, Western Colorado State. I mean, even Justin Jackson. I mean, those are obscure type of guys that you wouldn't really see as big name running backs, although Justin Jackson had a lot of success in the college realm. And Justin Jackson broke a lot of running back records at Northwestern. So the Chargers don't shy away from, obscure type of players that they think can help. I mean, this is where you build depth. They could always use a guy who can break tackles and really, kind of grind it out. They haven't had that type of running back in a long time, Daniel.
They haven't. And I think that's the kind of guy that they need, is a guy who can run between the tackles, pick up tough yards when necessary, and take a little bit off the plate of those two guys who have been a little bit injury prone. And another guy that kind of fit the same bill in this game was Benny LeMay, a guy from Charlotte who had 2 touchdown runs, a nice physical running back, 15 carries for 86 yards and 2 touchdowns in the game. I don't think he had a carry over 12 yards, but at the same time, he was very consistent. He was picking up 5 to 6 yards with a good consistency, and he was running hard. So another late round pick that the Chargers could potentially use, or even an undrafted free agent. We know how much the Chargers love undrafted free agent running backs and 7th round picks like Justin Jackson, who you just talked about. But one of the more intriguing prospects in this game was Navy quarterback Malcolm Perry, who is an electric athlete, and he showed that off in this game with a 52-yard touchdown, but is a guy that's without a position right now. He's trying to transition to being a wide receiver, and in this game he didn't have any catches, so it's hard to really evaluate him as a wide receiver. But the one thing you saw with him, and the thing you saw with him at Navy throughout his career, is he's just a playmaker. He's a guy that when the ball is in his hands, he's going to make people miss. And even though he's not a complete quarterback and he's not going to make it as a quarterback, he's the type of project that you could bring in late and just find a way to get the ball in his hands. I mean, sort of like you see with Taysom Hill in New Orleans. He's not that kind of athlete. He doesn't have the size that Taysom Hill has, but he's comparable as far as playmaking goes and just an electric playing style. So for a guy like Malcolm Perry, David, he's a guy you bring in and you just find a way to get the football in his hands and kind of let him do the rest.
We talked a lot about this year how Austin Eckler didn't have like a true position. He was obviously a good running back and a great receiver out of the backfield. I mean, this is kind of a similar thing with Malcolm Perry, but he's just a playmaker. Like you mentioned, he's electric. He's got great speed, good agility. I mean, he only had 1 touch in the East-West Shrine game, but he took it to the house for a touchdown. It was a direct snap. He made the first guy miss and then just outran everybody on the football field. And I mean, some of the things I was reading about him is they could possibly see him in the mold of a Wes Welker type. I mean, if he has any type of career like Wes Welker, then he's a home run type of pick. So, I mean, right now, you didn't really get a chance to evaluate the hands like you mentioned. That's something I would like to see out of him. The Chargers desperately need a slot wide receiver, someone who can be consistent, someone who can be on the football field, someone who can bring some playmaking ability and some speed. And it seemed like, Malcolm Perry could potentially bring some of those things. Still need to see more, but I like the kind of the raw tools that I saw.
Yeah, and another guy when you're talking about playmaking that made a big play in this game was Ohio State wide receiver Benjamin Victor, who didn't really have a very pronounced career at Ohio State. I think he only had around 35 career catches, But obviously, if he was with Ohio State, you know, with the wide receivers they have and the amount of skill players, it's kind of hard to get fed around there. But he did show a lot in this game, and according to all reports, he really showed out in practice all week long. And you saw when they decided to run a flea flicker late in the game, he gets a great high point touchdown catch, goes up in double coverage, high points the ball, has really strong hands, and brings it in for a touchdown. So that's a guy, another day three pick that you could look at if you're the Chargers, and if you decide to not fill out that position in the earlier rounds of the draft, he'd be a guy I would be okay with, you know, maybe targeting later on. Just a guy with that kind of ability, goes up and gets the football. Another guy, not like Mike Williams, he has a little bit more speed than Williams does, and he's not as good with the crazy catches, but another guy that, you know, could be solid depth for a team that needs to add talent to the wide receiver position.
Yeah, I mean, I liked some of the things that he did, and it's funny, you know, listen to the commentator on that particular touchdown play. Is he basically intercepted the football is what he said. He went up and high pointed it, and, you know, seemed like the safety from Alabama had, you know, a good angle on it, but Victor just went up and out muscled him for the football. And, you know, obviously, you know, someone who can catch the ball in traffic, who can high point the ball at its highest point, bring it in, show strong hands, those are all good things that are going to translate to the next level. Every NFL team is always looking for wide receivers. I mean, obviously, in the NFL, many players, many positions go through injuries a lot. I mean, wide receivers, you know, a skill position, and, you know, the speed and the stop and start, you know, all those things cause injuries, and so you need to have depth. I mean, I think Victor is a guy who has shown some skills and shown that he can definitely provide some depth on an NFL roster.
Yeah, and this has been a very, you know, offensive-sided segment so far, but I mean, that's kind of what these all-star games are really about, is showing off the quarterbacks, the wide receivers. It's a lot harder to be a defensive back in one of these games. We're going to continue going with the offensive side of the ball, and there's a couple offensive linemen, John Runyon from Michigan and Michael Uwenu, that really caught my eye in this game and in the practices leading up to it. Two guys that could be mid-round picks potentially for the Chargers, but a guy like Uwenu, David, when you see him on the field, you're just like, Jesus Christ. I mean, the guy's 362 pounds, 34 and a half inch arms, which is really good for an interior offensive lineman, and had some power in the running game. And for a team at the Chargers who's gotten out physicaled at times, when you see a guy like that, you're like, yeah, maybe he's a little bit too big, but that's a pretty good frame, a pretty good slab to work with as far as molding an interior offensive lineman.
Heck yeah, man. I mean, when I was watching this guy, I mean, he just moves people out of the way. I mean, he's so big, it's hard for you to get around him, and you put him in a phone booth, I mean, good luck getting past this guy. I mean, he's just a mountain of a man. I mean, both of those guys, and if you've, you know, think to yourself, hey, I remember a guy named John Runyon, well, you'd be right about that, because this is John Runyon's son. John Runyon played offensive lineman in the NFL for a very long time, so he has an NFL pedigree, you know, and has received some really good instruction, because John Runyon was a good offensive lineman in the NFL for many years. Back to Uwenu, I mean, just wow. I mean, the Chargers haven't had anybody that big on the offensive line in a long time, and I mean, I think, you know, to bring a guy in who can really just move people in the running game and really just be nasty, you might need to bring someone in. I mean, maybe not quite that big. I mean, I think he's probably going to have to shed a little bit of weight before he gets into the NFL, but that size and the Hulk Hogan-type arms, I mean, he can make some hay in the NFL.
Definitely. And just to touch on a couple of defensive players to kind of look at, you have McTelvin Ajim, who played at Arkansas, who was a top 20 prospect coming out of high school, a 5-star recruit that never lived up to expectations. And you might be able to see him again in the Senior Bowl. He was a late addition to that, so he'll have some more time to kind of prove things to NFL draft scouts as well. And another guy is Alex Highsmith, a guy from Charlotte, another small school edge rusher who had a ridiculous 15 sacks. He also had 21 and a half tackles for loss. And we saw a guy like Max Crosby with the Raiders really latch on as a later round edge rusher from a small school. So he's another guy to keep an eye on as well as a mid-round pick. But we do have one more segment to get into, talking about the players we're looking forward to watch this weekend at the Reese's Senior Bowl in Mobile, Alabama, coming up right after this. But first, I need to tell you guys that you guys can still bet on football. There's only one big game left, and that is the Super Bowl. But with MyBookie, it's not just football, it's every sport. I mean, you have the NBA and college basketball as well to bet on right now. So right now with MyBookie, you can still have a place to get all of the best bets. MyBookie is the place because they let you turn all of your sports knowledge into cash in your wallet. So if you're going to bet this season, do the smart thing and bet with MyBookie.ag because no one gives you more ways to win. If you guys are tired of watching games from the couch with nothing to gain, nothing gives you that action and makes the games that much more important than MyBookie. And right now, if you guys join MyBookie, they will match your deposit halfway all the way up to $1,000. That means if you deposit $2,000, you get an extra $1,000 in free money to play with. All you have to do is enter the promo code LOCKEDON to activate the offer. Once again, that's promo code LOCKEDON, all caps, one word, to take advantage of MyBookie's generous sign-up offer. Visit MyBookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid. All right, time to get into the final segment of the show, continuing to talk about these big games for college football players to improve their draft stock. We talked about the East-West Shrine Game, but the biggest game is this weekend in Mobile, Alabama, when the Senior Bowl takes place, and there's going to be a lot of players to look at in this game, especially from the Chargers' perspective. And if you guys want to watch the game, it's Saturday, January 25th, 11:30 a.m. Pacific time, and it's going to be on NFL Network. But it's hard to start with this game without talking about quarterbacks, because there are three potential targets for the Chargers at quarterback that they could be looking at. You have Justin Herbert, who could be the potential sixth overall pick for the Chargers. A lot of people think that might happen. And you also have Jordan Love, who's just had his draft capital skyrocket over the last few weeks, and Jalen Hurts, who is known as more of a runner, but will have another opportunity to kind of show off his arm and show that he can make NFL throws. So David, for the Chargers and their scouting department, it's going to start with the quarterbacks in this game, especially not knowing who's going to land with you at sixth overall. For these guys right now, this is their last opportunity to put some game tape out there against some elite talent and show teams like the Chargers that they're worth drafting maybe earlier than you thought, or a guy that maybe you see some red flags from and they kind of drop off your board.
Yeah, no question. I mean, and obviously the Chargers are in desperate need of a quarterback. I mean, there's a lot of uncertainty at that position right now. We don't know what's going to happen with Phillip Rivers. We don't know if Tyrod Taylor is going to be the starting quarterback. We don't know anything right now. So the Chargers are definitely in heavy evaluation mode for a quarterback and have been for, you know, the last year. But it's a great opportunity for a guy like Jordan Love to showcase his sneak athleticism and his big arm and his ability to make throws all over the football field, potential second-round pick for the Chargers if they want to go that route, and Justin Herbert for him to silence all the big questions about how he can't throw under pressure, and then Jalen Hurts to show that he's not just a running quarterback, that he can also make the throws as well, and that he can, you know, be the quarterback of the future for the Chargers. This is, you know, one of the last opportunities to show, you know, the coaching staff that these are the guys that, you know, can be the quarterback of the future for the next 10 to 15 years.
Absolutely. And it's a huge showcase for these guys to give the scouts some more tape to look at. And guys, draft stock absolutely rises and falls in the Senior Bowl, just like it does in the Combine, where we'll get more aspects of these guys and what they can do athletically and things like that and their size. But one guy I'm going to be keeping an eye on is Neville Gallimore. He's an interior defensive lineman for Oklahoma. Finished his season with 6.5 tackles for loss and 4 sacks, which aren't numbers that are going to jump off the page at you. But I specifically liked what he was able to do in the running game. He was their main presence as far as an interior guy that could stop the run. And he's a huge guy with really sneaky athleticism that causes a lot of disruption. And I think he'll probably go somewhere around the second round. But David, for a Chargers interior defensive line that added some pieces but still struggled, this is a guy that can come in and play that nose tackle position that Brandon Mebane will hopefully vacate this season, and a guy that brings a lot more upside as far as a pass rusher and just a disruptor, which is something I think the Chargers could desperately use on the interior of that line.
There's no question about it. They can definitely use somebody like that. They've been waiting for a guy like that since Jamal Williams. We've said it multiple times on this show, but it's true, because they haven't had anybody that's been a real just terror nightmare presence in the middle that can plug up holes, that can swallow up running backs, that can make plays in the backfield. The Chargers are set at the edge rush position. I mean, they have great, you know, pass rush on the outside, but they really need to have somebody on the inside that can really just plug a hole and make it easier for the linebackers to come in and make plays and to get some pressure. I mean, there's supposed to be some pressure from Jerry Tillery, and, you know, he had some, you know, issues he had to deal with, you know, missing the offseason, you know, recovering from the shoulder surgery. I mean, you know, those all hindered his rookie season. But they need a guy who's just more of a guy who's just going to just maul people in the middle of the line. And, you know, that might be Neville Gallimore.
Absolutely. And another guy that you could possibly see going in the interior defensive line from this game would be Raekwon Davis from Alabama, who's a playmaker there as well. But one of the guys I'm excited to watch in this one who didn't get to go up against a lot of elite talent is Harrison Bryant, who's a tight end out of Florida Atlantic University, which is probably why you've never heard of him. But he put up a really impressive stat line in 2019. He ended up with 65 catches for 1,004 yards and 7 touchdowns. And David, we don't know who the Chargers are going to have at the tight end position by the time the draft comes around, but regardless of whether or not Hunter Henry comes back, he is still a guy I would think the Chargers would look at, because even if you don't need a tight end one, you still need something behind Hunter Henry, especially with his injury history. And a guy like Harrison Bryant showed one of the more impressive tight end seasons in college football. I mean, you don't see those numbers at the tight end position in college, and he showed it this year, and he's a guy I think the Chargers could look at.
Yeah, the Chargers need more production from the tight end position, because after Hunter Henry, it's nobody. I mean, no offense, but you know, the only production that's been coming from anyone outside of Hunter Henry has just been in the running game, and that makes it very predictable. I mean, obviously, Hunter Henry is a great blocker and receiver in his own right. You know, obviously a phenomenal player, but he can't do it all. I mean, even when he was playing with Antonio Gates, at least there was another option there, you know, to where you can throw the football to that person and potentially watch that person make a play. But that has been lacking the last year or two in the Chargers offense. And I think, you know, this is a, you know, a tight end that could definitely help the Chargers make this offense a little bit more dynamic.
And they really just need somebody to be a playmaker at that position behind Hunter Henry. I mean, right now you have Virgil Green, who is known as a run block. His contract is going to be up soon anyways after this year. So right now the Chargers are in flux at the tight end position, and they're going to need to address it either in free agency or in the draft. So some of the other players that the Chargers could look at in this game would be Anthony Jennings, the linebacker out of Alabama, an inside linebacker. The Chargers obviously have a big need there because they just did not get the production they needed out of that position with Thomas Davis and Denzel Perryman last year. And you also have guys like Malik Harrison and TJ Brunson, who are inside linebackers that are going to be playing in this game. I'm excited to watch all those guys. I hope some of them stand out so the Chargers could have a more clear-cut option at guys they could target after the Senior Bowl. But that is going to wrap things up for today's show. Tomorrow, John Kegley will be back on, and we have some voicemails that we're going to get into and much more. But until then, make sure to follow us on Twitter at LockedOnLAC and to like the Facebook page Locked On Chargers, as well as subscribing wherever you get your podcast from. You can find the Locked On Chargers podcast there. If you guys want to get your voicemails on the show, make sure to call 323-524-7924, because every Chargers voicemail gets played on the show. But we'll be back with you guys tomorrow. Until then, take it easy and go Bolts.